وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
دينار أنفقته في رقبة، ودينار أنفقته على مسكين، ودينار أنفقته على أهلك. الدينار الذي أنفقته على أهلك أفضل من ذلك كله. He was saying صلى الله عليه وسلم that if you spend a dollar or a dinar for the sake of Allah and another helping freeing a slave neck when there was slavery, and a dollar that you donate and you give to a needy person, and another one that you spend on your family members, your children, wife, and so on, the best of all is that dollar or dinar which you spent on your family members. So it's rewarded as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that even حتى اللقمة, the bite you put in the mouth of your wife, it's a charity. So don't you think that you're wasting your money even if you spend it on medication or taking your child to... It's actually the parents' responsibility, health education, physical education, and watching for the health of their children. Do you think that having children is for free? No.
I wish it was.
Speaking about health, you know, for children, which is very important, we always want our children to be healthy. The breast milk, I think it is recommended Islamically that a mother breastfeed the child for, what, like 2 years?
Well, keeping balance between the responsibilities of both parents, that begins from, you know, since birth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah,
وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف.
Indicating that it is prescribed for the mothers to suckle and breastfeed their babies. For how long? حولين كاملين. 2 lunar years. حولين كاملين. That is the best actually. Sometimes the weaning come before that. Sometimes the mother is sick and that cannot afford it. That's understood. But when the mother is physically well and healthy and able to, breastfeed her child, then she must do that actually for the benefit of her child. It brings emotions, love and mercy relationship between that child and the mother. I mean, which of course the formula can never do.
Now, so the health benefits of breast milk compared to formula are out.
No comparison.
Yeah, formula is high in iron, which causes the children to get constipated. Where
well, that balance is kept naturally in the milk of the mother, where that it doesn't cause diarrhea nor constipation. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps balance. It's also available during all times. Yeah, you don't have to get up and fix the milk and warm the.
It doesn't
the
get spoiled or.
Exactly, you don't have to store it in the freezer or the fridge because it's naturally protected. And it's purified and sterilized from germs, bacteria, and microbes. It's natural.
And in the first 3 days, you have the colostrum, which is the natural antibiotics that are given from
exactly.
The mother to the
child. Exactly, it has that too. I mean, so it's a nutrition and it's a medicine. Yeah. In addition to strengthen the mercy and compassion between the child and the mother. Of course, mothers who have to ignore their children and go to work and so on, they complain later on that my child is not being dutiful to me because you did not pay them the rights when they were young. Mm-hmm. You fed them the formula, even with iron, even though they didn't need it. And you were capable to feed. Some women, they say, you know, but it will mess up my figure and so on. Why did you have children to begin with?
why did you concern about
the figure? So this is the responsibility of both parents. The mother have to breastfeed, and وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف. And the father who have received the child, it is his responsibility to feed and buy clothes for both, the mother and for the children. You know, as much as they can afford.
Yeah. Well, the breast milk was good too. Is the mother wake up in the the baby wake up in the middle of the night, and the mother have to
breastfeed
the baby.
Don't
have to wake up and go
times.
And warm it in the microwave and all that.
The thing I like about breast milk,
is there is a very important rule that we have to keep in mind when we're talking about health and so on, which is prevention is better than cure. Prevention is better than cure. How? That instead of taking your child to the doctor because he has a constipation or diarrhea or he got cold, I mean, make sure that you cover him well, you provide him with the proper food, you wash the vegetables and the fruits before offering the food to your children. Make sure that they don't eat the food which you don't know the source. It's not necessarily only that they say it's halal food. No, you have to verify, you know. So it's our responsibility to do that.
When you make sure that when you're preventing the food, making sure that, you know, prevention is the cure, better cure, isn't this Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us when you talked about food, that all the cure illness comes from
Exactly. We've discussed this before. The etiquette of eating was actually for one purpose. It's not mere etiquette. No, it's also to maintain one's health. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam divided the meal as one third is for food, one third is for air, and one third is for your drink, is to facilitate and make easy the process of digestion and excretion and so on, absorption and excretion. However, those who stuff their stomach and then they complain, oh, I can't breathe. Yeah. You know, you brought it all to yourself. You know, you can just keep stuffing yourself and you will get sick. The home of illness is the stomach, is one's stomach. And also talking about eating and the stomach and so on. It's not only about eating, it's about even positions. The Prophet ﷺ prescribed for us, adults, children, men and women, that if you go to sleep, it's most recommended to do what?
Sleep on your
right hand side. No. Why is that? First of all, to me as a Muslim, I have to instruct my children on doing this just to comply with the command of Allah and His Messenger, because we love them and would love to obey them. Secondly, searching as of the scientific benefits of sleeping on your right hand side, where does the stomach fall? In the left side. Where does the heart fall? On the left side. So especially after a heavy meal or after dinner, that the child or the adult goes to sleep, and then the stomach is pressing against the heart, and there is a problem breathing, difficulty breathing, and sometimes nightmares, and they say, why? You know, simply it's understood, especially if you eat very spicy food before you go to sleep.
I eat too much spicy food.
Health education is very important in a child's life, but how about physical education? How important is this, and how should we help them in
We're talking about prevention is better than cure. You have to provide alternative to the children than just sitting home. You have to maintain their body belt and their health by practicing and getting involved in some sort of sports. Sports actually is prescribed by Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Didn't Allah mention archery in the Quran?
And this is one of the best sports, actually. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about sports, saying sports and also a mean of strength. وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to prepare as much as we can afford of strength, quwwah, and horses, you know, whatever is required of means of defending ourselves, defending our faith and our country, our people.
Riding the horse is recommended.
Yes. And the Prophet ﷺ, when this ayah was recited, he said that concerning al-quwwah, strength, he said that, أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةِ هِيَ الرَّمِي, الرَّمِي, الرَّمِي. He repeated that several times, referring to that the strength is archery, al-rami. Yeah. So it is very, very important. So it's actually dual benefits, sports and strength. Which can benefit in the future in defending oneself and country and so on.
Like what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wrestle in the masjid with his companions.
Wrestling is a sport which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approved, and he used to do that himself. As long as you don't get involved in, Mike Tyson wrestling, you know, and you bite somebody's ear or you hurt somebody, you know, you avoid the face and the private parts and wrestle in a beautiful manner that shows strength and so on.
Yeah. Also, our children getting involved in sports, like modern sports like basketball, and go out wearing short pants and things like that.
Now, you see, every sport, as long as builds the body, opens the mind, lengthens and deepens the breath of a person, and diverts our children from, things which could mislead them, especially as they approach
the puberty
yeah. age and yeah. teenage, then you have to get them involved in some sort of physical activities, you know, to keep them busy. Well, but we have to keep balance between the fact that it's recommended to get involved and get our children involved in some sort of sports, and the fact that we have to keep the Sharia in order.
No.
Yeah.
So that if you're practicing any kind of sports, you have to dress properly. Swimming, for instance, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab recommended for us to teach our children three things.
Swimming.
Archery.
And riding horses.
And not only riding horses, as how to jump on the back of the horse while the horse is on the run.
Hey, I need to practice that.
You know? Can you do that?
No, I'm from Colorado, but I couldn't do that.
Well, I did try before, and it is a wonderful sport. Unfortunately, in many countries, it is a sport of the rich people. Hmm. You know, however, it is a sport which should be available for everyone because it's useful in building the personality of the child.
Yeah.
You know? So, maintaining the Sharia while playing sports is very, very important.
To make sure we don't cover the parts of our bodies that can't be seen.
Talking about covering up and so on, that I would say, yes, it's important to lift weight and build your body and, you know, jog on the treadmill. But I wouldn't do that in a place like, you know, a gym
hours.
In the States. Because once you go there, I would consider it...
Because of mixing.
Outlaw, yeah, of course.
Oh, man,
seeing men and women almost naked, you know.
Almost naked.
And it changing in the locker room and so on, I would say... No. So you have to keep balance. Yes, we're recommended to practice sports and have our children get involved in them, but with the Sharia.
No.
Dress up properly for the boys. They have to dress up shorts, which is up to their knees or below their knees, and cover their belly button. And they have to play completely separate from girls, whether it's basketball, soccer, or.
Is there an age, 7? At the age of 7, split them up?
Well, you know, actually, the age is the age of puberty, but, you know, you don't say, today you're going to switch, today you're going to start. No, you practice, and age 7 is actually the best age to start practicing this, as it is the age of beginning the salah and so on.
Okay, I think I have to make wudu, so I'm going to run off and leave you guys to your own defenses. You always have to make wudu.
Yeah.
So,
we're waiting for you.
Wait for me, inshallah. I'll be back in a second.
And people need each others, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. Quran is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad is not preserved in the books only, but in the hearts of men. In the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. Believe and trust tawakkul that none could take place without the knowledge of Allah.
It's really natural for when our children to be sick to want to rush to get them the best medical treatment, to find them the best doctors, to get the best medical treatment we can find.
Well, man, yeah, as you said, this is natural. However, sickness is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one has to keep in mind two facts. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed for us seeking remedy. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tadawwa ibadallah. O servants of Allah, seek remedy. Since by Allah, Allah did not create any illness, but He created the proper treatment for it. Even if people still did not find it, but there is. Just people have to look for it and so on. The second fact is that the Prophet ﷺ prescribed for us a ruqya. You know, the recitation of certain verses of the Quran, certain ayahs and so on, hoping and seeking the cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who caused the person to get sick. Remember what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam used to say, reasoning to his people, as why he worships Allah, not their gods, saying, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And I worship the one whom whenever I get sick, He's the only one who cures me. So one has to keep in mind, yes, I'm taking my child to the doctor. Along with that, or before that, pray, oh Allah, cure him. Because actually prayer is the biggest and the most important mean of cure. Not only, I mean, the same doctor whom you visit sometimes is absent. Why? Because he's sick. I wonder who cures the doctor. You know, so you have to keep that in mind. Two things. Yes, it's recommended to seek remedy, you know, and in a halal way. A remedy that's prescribed and it doesn't include or any, you know, I'm glad that you guys brought this up. There is some vitamins, for instance, which contain gelatin. Yeah. And you know, gelatin is mainly taken from the bones of animals. Which animals?
Any animals.
Sometimes pigs, calf, cows, sheep, so any animals. So when we call several companies, they say that they cannot really verify because they mix everything together. Mm-hmm. So imagine that you're taking a tablet or a caplet or a capsule which contains
pig.
You know? So you have to verify that before taking any medicine. Sometimes certain medications, analgesics, antibiotics, once you need the word gelatin, man, stay away from that.
Yeah.
Find something that's alternative to that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah have never put a cure in something that he made it prohibited. So one would say, drinking would cure you. No, this is not true. You know?
Yeah, Sheikh, how do we handle some of the bad phenomena that affect the health of our children, you know, real badly?
Oh, like smoking. I hate smoking very much.
Yeah,
smoking,
exactly.
Drugs, and etc. Smoking. You know, many people assume that, or they say, yeah, such and such sheikh that said smoking is this light, just this light.
They make it such a small word, makruh, such a small word.
Well, yeah. I think we have to understand that the Prophet ﷺ said that لا ضرر ولا ضرار. You should not harm no one, nor should you harm even yourself, nor should you be harmed by others. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Harm should not be applied to no one. And prevention is better than cure.
Yeah.
Do you guys, by the way, read and follow up the dangerous effect of smoking?
Yeah.
Whether you are the person who's smoking or a person who's inhaling.
Second-hand smoker.
Though. Second-hand smoking is you're smoking with the person.
Exactly.
If I'm sitting here smoking a cigarette, everyone here, you all are smoking with me, whether you want to or not.
You know, nowadays, the countries which actually introduce smoking to our Muslim land, now they ban smoking in public places. They ban smoking in schools, in theaters, at work, in the buses, public transportations.
Even in the bars.
Nowadays, yes, nowadays they ban smoking in restaurants and bars.
Even in the bars.
And here we are, that there is no respect whatsoever to our young kids, to our elders, to sick ones. You find smoking is everywhere.
You'll see a man with his newborn baby with a cig hanging out his lip. Yeah. Looking at his baby, you know,
people
I love you so much.
Don't understand that it's very destructive. I met a lady in the States who had a very young child, a newborn, and he was actually having the signs of mental retardation. And I felt very sorry and I tried to condole her. She said, it's all because of me. The doctor said that since I was a very heavy smoker, it reflected on my child. Uh-huh. You see what you can do to your own child? Then when he grows and he's 10 or 11 years old and starts smoking in secret, you say, you beat him up and say, you don't do that. But you yourself is a smoker.
No. Okay.
You know, this or his uncle or.
This is smoking. What about drugs or intoxicated?
Well, smoking, drugs, etc. Anything that's harmful, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not throw yourselves by your own hands into destruction. Say in another ayah, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Don't you kill yourselves by your own hands. Because Allah is merciful with you. Don't you have mercy in yourself? Talking to doctors and those who are in the medical field, you will realize very horrible facts about smoking, for instance, which many people belittle and think it's, you know, it's just, that's my only hobby.
That's like painting.
That's my only thing which I do. I mean, I don't do anything but smoking. Do you think it's just insignificant? No. You know, most of lung cancer is due to smoking.
No. Smoking.
TB. Smoking. Depression, smoking. No. Look at your teeth. Look at your health, which is deteriorated. smoking.
Your skin.
And a person cannot really breathe due to smoking.
And there's not one part of your body, not one part of your body that is not affected by smoking.
That is true.
From your toes to your hair.
That's
not
true.
One part of your body is not
affected. Even the manufacturer of the cigarette, they tell you right there on the pack that cigarette smoking cause cancer.
Yeah. Exactly.
At least the bad odor of smoking.
I mean, just imagine that they showed once on TV a contrast between the lungs of a person who's healthy, non-smoker, versus a smoker. One is transparent, and one is totally opaque. Mm. So that you're killing yourself by your own hand, and you're paying for it. Yeah. That's another thing.
Wasting
another
your money.
You know? And the Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith that, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. No one will be dismissed on the Day of Judgment before he will be asked about four things. One of them is his wealth. How did he earn it? And how did he spend it? So that many people say it's only a couple of dollars or a couple of dinars or dirhams, you know. It adds up. Imagine how much money you spent since last year if you're a smoker on buying just one pack of cigarettes every day. That adds up. You could buy a new outfit for your children. You could move into a newer apartment, buy a new car. You can do a lot of things with this, what you assume it's insignificant, but it adds up.
I know that smoking in front around your kids makes them usually have asthma or a breathing condition, chronic bronchitis.
This is
and lung pneumonia.
Yes, this is selfishness that you think that, you know, I have to do it. And you assume that, oh, I'm addicted now, I can get rid of it. My brain will go crazy, I can't think, I can't work, I can't function. So what do you do while fasting during Ramadan?
They give it up.
Yeah. You know?
You build a wall during the day to tear it down as soon as the adhan is called.
They break the fast on cigarettes.
They break the fast on cigarettes.
You know, I would really hope that the day would come where all Muslim countries would ban smoking, period. Man, while I was performing Hajj last year, you see people, they step out of al-haram, they think that, you know, outside the masjid is not haram, and they start smoking. What kind of message and example you're giving for our youth and our children?
What about smoking in the ihram?
No. Yeah. I heard a story about two brothers on Hajj on the day of Arafat talking about opening a liquor store.
Do you know that the Prophet ﷺ said that if Allah prohibits anything, He prohibits its price. So selling liquor, selling pork, ham sandwiches or anything like that is prohibited, including selling cigarettes.
Mm.
So you are a partner in the haram. Mm. You know, and one really have to bring to the attention of his children from a very young age. That's awful. Smoking is awful. Drugs is awful. Mm. Many people wait until the children reach the age where they can make the distinction between haram and halal, and they get involved, whether because of the peer pressure or some, you know, bad friend or. So they say, I didn't know why did this happen. Simply because you did not pursue the proper education which you should give to your children. Yeah. Remember, prevention is better than cure.
How would you do this education? Just to teach them the Quran and the Sunnah?
Do you remember several weeks ago or several meetings when we had talked about bringing the concept of love to the mind of your children? Mm-hmm. Love of Allah, love of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to comply with their teachings simply because you love them. This is a very important tool you can always use whenever you want to talk about haram and halal. You know, and instead of saying, you should not be doing this because you go to far of hell. No. Bring to their attention, Allah will not be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and if you give it up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you.
And you should be a role model. Don't smoke in front of them if you have this bad habit. Or
if you want, you can always give examples of people who got into drugs, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, people, kids who got into drugs and so on, and you see their evil fate, what happened to them. They started with lying to obtain the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the school is asking me for this and that, so they only get the money to buy drugs or cigarettes, etc. Second, stealing. Third, committing crimes to get their need. Now they're addicted.
Prostitution.
Every kind of evil thing, because actually drugs, drinking is a door for every evil, which should be locked completely. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إن
إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Oh, you who believe, the believers, you know, he's calling us. Indeed, al-khamr, what's khamr? It's not only alcohol, everything that's intoxicant and causes hallucination and absence of mind. Wal-ansab wal-azlam, what people used to do before Islam, and some still do that, worshiping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and drawing lots and so on. It's all from the evil work of Satan. So ijtanibu, you must avoid it all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, commanding us that, إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر فهل أنتم منتهون. The shaitan wants to sow fitnah, hatred and enmity amongst you through what?
To drugs and alcohol.
One who drinks will not have no. He will do anything that's possible as long as he desires, because actually he's absent-minded. He would commit adultery, he would steal, he would kill. So please, please, it doesn't begin at the age of 14 or 15 that we have to address our children with that. No, it begins since the very early childhood. Remember, let's make the most beautiful dua that suits our occasion. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. See you tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakum Allah
khair. At your house, inshallah.